welcome back to the Chain Gang podcast. Today I'm joined by a different kind of guest to normal. I'm joined by Benji Narson, the pro cycling manager, YouTuber, 5,000 subscribers. So Benji, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty great, pretty busy these days with the upcoming launch and such of the new games, but yeah, it's fun and I like doing it, so that's the most important part.
So obviously, like, you've been doing what you do a long time, you've built up a big following, you've got quite a big community. Now, during that time, Zwift has shot up in, like, the people playing it and using it and everything. So how does that feel to you as someone who was so invested in Pro Cycling Manager that effectively cycling's original esport has basically been eclipsed by something else?
It's a good question, and I see it something differently. I've never seen Pro Cycling Manager as the real esports for cycling. I never expected it to be as connected to cycling as it sometimes is these days, because I feel like we're leaning more towards it being used by some events, in some events at least, by actual teams that start contacting PCM players and do certain events. Like, we had the event of Route Occitanie, which is currently a, I think, 1HC race that did a multiplayer tournament with actual cyclists and kind of mixed them up with Pro Cycling Manager players, and those kind of mix-ups were fun. Then again, I feel like Zwift is more esports because kind of it depends, really, because what is esports since you technically still sport hardcore once you're doing Zwift? It's a bit of an edge that I'm never sure what to define something as esports at. Because, like, Pro Cycling Manager is just a game that you do tournaments on. And on Zwift, you actually have to do performance stuff. And you actually need to perform yourself to get your cyclist moving. So that's actually an interesting question. Where do you see the border between, like, esports and real sports?
Yeah, well, my issue with it has always been that in the vast majority of esports, say you take Formula One out of the question, although even in Formula One, the esports players, until recently when the Formula One players have actually been playing it all the time because they can't race, the esports players are better. So in every sport, effectively, if you're good at the sport, it doesn't make you good at the esport. So, like, take FIFA. Just because Kevin De Bruyne is leading the world in football doesn't mean he's going to win a FIFA tournament.
Yeah,
whereas true. Zwift, if you're Matthew Van Der Poel and you're one of the strongest riders in the world, you will beat everyone in a Zwift race. Like, me or you couldn't enter against Matthew Van Der Poel just because we use Zwift every day.
For sure.
Whereas Pro Cycling Manager, me and you might have a very good chance against Matthew Van Der Poel. So it annoys me that it basically has just made cycling two-tier, but not two-tier because it's the same riders. So I would like to see esports for cycling be Pro Cycling Manager, but I guess we're too deep in there now, really.
Yeah, I get that. And I also feel like Zwift is really promoting itself as an esports and such. I don't mind them to do that. I like doing Zwift. I don't do it too often because I'm not that great of a cyclist, but I enjoy doing it, and I do it to somewhat stay in shape, and it's just a bit of a gamification that motivates me to do more sports, so that's the good side of it. I don't see it as gaming necessarily, because I'm still suffering like crazy, and when I play PCM, I enjoy the gaming side of it. It's relaxed, I can just have a drink while getting my team to victory, pretty much, hopefully. Or losing, it's a possibility.
Yeah, and have you lied about your weight on Zwift ever? I know that's a big problem on Zwift. I mean, there's so many problems that come with Zwift as well. I mean, if we look at the British Nationals this year, the first ever ones, so far the British Nationals are one British esports cycling national championships, one disqualification for the winner, like, because he cheated to get the Tron bike or whatever. It just seems all too flawed as a system. I know with pros they can fact check everything because pros are weighed like every hour basically, but like it just seems like it doesn't really favor a new kind of audience of people quite like Pro Cycling Manager would. But
I get that and I agree, and I've never lied about stuff on it, but I've noticed that I've have more trouble than a guy that is super fit on Zwift, and I don't mind that because it also gives me motivation to do better next time. And on the other side, I'm not the kind of guy that does Zwift for competition. I do it to train myself. And maybe it's because of that I don't really care about the fact that other people lie on it, because I just don't compare myself to the people I ride with necessarily.
So You talked earlier a bit about how pro cycling manager has actually become more involved with the world of cycling, like the pro peloton, than it was perhaps before when Zwift wasn't around.
Mm-hmm.
So the way we're heading now, you've obviously been heavily involved in some of the events. You did the SEG racing event and stuff like that. So where do you see it heading in 5-10 years time? If you're still around, do you think you'll be making videos with World Tour riders every week or frequently, or how do you see it going?
I don't see it going at that high of a pace, and there's a simple explanation for that. I don't think the multiplayer is good enough at the moment to have proper esports events, have proper invitations of real life riders to ride with players. Obviously, it starts off with the fact that the game needs to promote it themselves at launch, and on those moments, I see it happening that real life players connect with the game and start playing together with players because they're getting paid to do it. But I have only noticed a few riders, real life riders, that are actually playing it at a high level, as in they play it a lot. I don't know that many cyclists that hardcore play Pro Cycling Manager. I know that there are. I know that some do, but yeah, obviously it's only like a gaming thing for them. I also think that most of the people that play Pro Cycling Manager are not involved with communities enough to know that tournaments actually happen, because I realize that from the community that I've helped build, PCM World, we've had a lot of members, and I still think that the major amount of the players that play the game actually are not in there or not in any actual community, and because of that don't really connect with the multiplayer too much. But again, that's mainly because the multiplayer is just so what can I say, it's just what tier, it's not that great. That's just an explanation for it. It's so simplistic in the sense that you create a lobby, you get people in, and then you start a game, but it's repetitive, and the fact that there are so many gameplay bugs in it is kind of lacking of a potential future in esports events, I would say, and in getting it towards having real-life riders play more in events as well.
Definitely. I mean, when this comes out, we'll be 2 days away from launch of a new game. And in events I've been playing this week, I know in the World Championships final, one of the other big YouTubers, Tim Soski, he had problems loading into a multiplayer lobby, and this is a year into the game. So, like, it is an issue. But then one thing we have to say about Pro Cycling Manager is the game is so low budget, and I know, obviously, the team and developers really are not that large compared to most games. So comparing it to games like FIFA or anything is a stupid thing to do, and it's not realistic. Mm-hmm. But realistically, there's new developers for the game. The community seems to be growing kind of exponentially. How far do you think it can push it? Do you think the budget can go up and we'll see a complete like redesign to the game? Or because to me, PCMs look the same since I started playing it, really. In-game, the game looks exactly as it did, except a few UI changes, etc., from when I started playing the game, which was 2013. So do you think there's ever going to be a chance where the game changes massively, like when EA brought in Frostbite? Obviously, that's a bigger scale thing, but the same kind of vibe.
Valid question, because I thought about this quite a lot. Now, I've been playing Pro Cycling Manager since, I think I started playing it in 2005 accidentally, because I was in a football training camp and I had to go to the actual training camp together with a coach that was there. And at his home, I saw his son play Pro Cycling Manager, and I was like, oh my God, that's Bonin at Discovery Channel. So I think that's PCM 2005, 2004, I'm not sure. But it's very far back in history. Now, I do believe that I've seen a lot of change since then, but it's very small scale in the sense that the graphics have changed a lot since 2004, but in the last 5 years, they've been lacking. Then again, I don't play Pro Cycling Manager for the graphics, so I want changes in the micromanagement of the team and such. I want to be able to get my career as personal as possible towards riders and such. I want to feel like my rider is a real person instead of just a dude in game that rides a bike. I wanted to feel like I'm an actual manager, and they work on that every year. Some features that come towards the game for that, but I personally feel that with the budget that I think they have, they can do more. And that's also kind of a part of the sense that last year, for example, let me talk about features of last year because I can't talk about these of 2020, of course. Can't break any NDA here. Now, last year, they added certain features to one of their game modes, Pro Cyclists, and a smaller feature to their career mode. Those are the two main game modes in the game, next to multiplayer and track, which is a bit lacking in my honest opinion. Now, in Pro Cyclists, they added three features, three screens or something with certain things you can do in the game. Now, I believe that every year they choose one of the two game modes to really improve on. And last year was Pro Cyclists, this year it will be career mode. And obviously you're going to disappoint half the people then, because half the people are going to be people that like the other game mode. And I think because of that, they disappoint people every year. And if they could balance that and try and make just more stuff happen, because I generally feel like you can do more with a team that they have. That's my personal opinion. Nonetheless, I'm not in that team, so I obviously don't know all the secrets. I would also say that when it comes to the future, technically, they're not new developers. So last year, we had the change that Big Ben bought Cyanide and bought the licenses of the Pro Cycling Manager and Tour de France game. Cyanide is a company that does all the development, and Big Ben did all the marketing for that in 2019 then. And now Big Ben has a bit of a branch that got out of the company, Knuckon it's called, and they do all the marketing and all the publishing and all the community management and such for the game. I feel like that has improved quite a lot since the buyout. The development side, it's difficult to notice because I talk with these game designers sometimes, but I've got the feeling that it is kind of the same mentality still that they have, and that's not really a criticism. Maybe it's because they just made the game since the start, Cyanide, that they're just in that whole loop, and yeah, because of that, they're not as innovative as, for example, Knuckon is now trying to be with doing all the marketing very high level compared to a few years ago. I still believe there are some marketing mistakes. One of those mistakes is, for example, that the version I currently have to review on is kind of a beta version of the game, making it that I'm going to be doing a review for the game on not the version that will be released. So I'm lacking features technically and lacking bug fixes that will be at release. And because of that, my review is going to be worse than the game is actually going to be. So I'm not judging the game on what it's going to be, but what it is a week before the game releases. So that is just a bit annoying for me as well, because I want these games to be as good as they can be. And if I notice that for the stupidest of reasons, I don't know what the reason is, but like I heard that the version that is supposed to release is pretty much done. So why can't they just give it to reviewers then to make sure the reviews are actually valid? That's my opinion about that. And yeah, because of those mistakes, I'm sometimes disappointed.
And obviously, now this, as to you as a Belgian, will probably mean nothing. Mm-hmm. But obviously, the reason I know Big Ben is because they developed recently, since 2011, they made the Rugby World Cup game. Mm-hmm. They then made the Rugby 2015 World Cup game, and have been making rugby games every year since. Now, rugby, in some ways, can almost relate to cycling in that it's yet to have a really, really good game come out where you think, wow, like, this is EA standards. Fortunately, rugby for 3 years, 2006, 2008, had an EA game, and people still swear that the EA Rugby 2008 is the best rugby game ever made, and that was 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. Do you think that cycling being a sport so popular in Europe, like, there's plenty of countries in Europe, like where you are, Belgium, mm-hmm, it's one of the main national sports, and obviously it's picking up in the UK, the French love it, the Spanish love it, that there is room for a potentially even bigger developer to come in and really work on this as they're like, and put some proper money in, or even like what happens with some of the rugby games I do like. And this is a comparison I can make because it's a big sport in certain countries, but it doesn't have a good game. The rugby games that are good at the moment are a developer who solely focus basically on that. They put all their effort into that. Do you think there's room for that in cycling?
I genuinely don't know, and I believe that there's definitely a market, but I've got the feeling that there's more of a market for the PlayStation game they make than for the PC game, because I always see those two games as, you said it, you shouldn't try to compare it to FIFA and such, but the initial setup of the game looks similar from Pro Cycling Manager to Football Manager, and their Tour de France game feels to me like a FIFA version of that, where you focus more on the gameplay. And I believe there's certainly a market for the TDF game. I believe there's a market for the PS4, for the PC game, Pro Cycling Manager, but I don't think that there's currently that big of a market on the PCM game to put a high money, high budget developer on that. Next to that, I don't think that Cyanide will let PCM go, because it's been their baby since the start, so I don't think they're just going to say, no. So unless they get more money to make it, I don't expect it to change like that.
Yeah, well, the other thing about that I thought I'd ask you, and I mean, having said not to compare it to FIFA, all I've done is really make comparisons to FIFA and other games.
Same.
basically, the thing is, one thing that we see drive games on, like if we look at FIFA and PES and NBA 2K and EA, like NBA Live, what they have is they have two games, because it's not exclusive licenses, which drive each other forwards. Now, in my memory, like, I'm happy to be proved wrong here, there's never been a cycling game as complete or that covers the same area like there is with PES and FIFA to drive the game forwards. And I mean, like, taking the ideas of Elon Musk, you know, how he, with Hyperloop, how he releases the patent for free to everyone because he knows competition drives development. Do you think almost that if another developer came out of another cycling game rather than Cyanide releasing it, it would drive both games forward to a point where one would be the game that people really, really want?
I certainly believe that. And I think that's also one of the big reasons why we don't see that much improvement, because a cycling fan like me is going to buy PCM because there is nothing else to play, genuinely. Next to that, I also think it's a good game personally, but a lot of people will obviously be of the opinion, and I accept that opinion because it's somewhat true in my honest opinion, that the game doesn't evolve enough throughout the years. And indeed, if you have a competitor for that, I believe that you can move forward per year. And I also have noticed that in previous years, there was a different developer that I was in contact with. I won't throw names around, but he's now left the company. And what he said to me was, I said, what do you think would happen if a new competitor arises? And his simple answer was, well, I don't think that's going to happen. And if they do it, I think we're so far ahead that we're going to beat them anyway. And that answer had me like, oh God, that's not your good answer. And on one end, I'm kind of happy that he's gone from the game now. Because like, that's not the mentality you need if you want to make a game better. That's the mentality you have once you notice that a game is making money and you don't need to improve it and still makes money. That's the mentality that he had. And I believe you need a different kind of mentality. And I believe the current game designer certainly has that. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know their inside life of the team. I don't know what their goals are in the future. I don't know their ambitions. But externally, when talking to the public, they seem pretty ambitious with the future. Certainly Knockon now, because they have a new license for the PCM and TDF games. And they've proposed quite a lot of things already to me as well, just for future stuff. And I've noticed that that's a big change from the old publishers. But development-wise, I'm not sure. I genuinely don't know, because the marketing guys obviously don't do the developing. And I don't think the developers really choose 100% what they develop as well, because of the budget that they get. So I think it's very difficult, and I think it's very difficult to move it forward unless you have like a big thing that pops up. Oh my God, it's a new cycling manager game, Pro Cycling Simulator or something. But like, I don't know. I don't see someone throwing money into a new pro cycling game at the moment. And next to that, like, this game is now licensed by the Tour de France. What are you going to do? Try and get it licensed by the Giro RCS. It's possible, but like, you already have like a game of the Tour de France. They'd also be competing next to in cycling between the Giro and the Tour de France, also in gaming, and then between the RCS and the Tour de France games. So yeah, I don't know, personally.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that is one thing that makes making a cycling game a lot harder is the fact that races obviously aren't, like, although they're governed by the UCI, they're not owned by the UCI. They're owned by a whole group of different people each time. So you've obviously got the ones who, like, Flanders Classic, who own all the kind of Belgian races. Then you've got ASO, who own so many races across the world. And RCS obviously owned a lot of the Italian races. It does make it hard for people trying to buy licenses, which is why it's important that obviously PCM and now Tour de France to a degree let you mod the game to a point where you can at least put in the real names. But obviously they should have solved that for next year, obviously getting all the licenses. But do you think something like an open source game would help PCM out, or do you think it would be bad for them because people could copy it?
I am approving of that because I'm also a developer myself, so I'd like to dive into stuff of the game and see if I can make it better myself. But on the other end, I just don't see it happening. I genuinely don't see it happening. Back to the modding side though, you talked about being able to change it in PCM and TDF. So now you've got PCM where you can do it in the workshop. You can paste the database in the workshop, you can upload it, and as a contributor to the game, you can get you can upload your databases on there so that people can benefit off of that. Now, I've been doing this quite a while with the WorldDB, which is a database that gives the riders real names, as realistic as possible attributes according to the opinion of the team that works on it. Because obviously other people will not always agree with how good a certain rider is and such, so we make it as good as possible. And the thing with these databases are, I feel like the game is so over-reliant on them because I've been doing this for like 4 years now, making these databases. I actually quit 2 weeks ago. And in general, I have the feeling that at release day, on release day, there is a database that gets released to have real names and real stats and real shirts and such. That database gets developed for like how many months? I think 6 months until it's December or something. And then it's a new season. So the base game database is accurate for 6 months. Because in January, those teams don't exist anymore. Those riders are not riding in those teams anymore. You've got transfers, you've got everything changing. And from that point onwards, from January to June, I've got the feeling that the game fully relies on the community's contributions to, first of all, make money and sell copies, because I think less people will buy between January and July, well, June, during release of the new game, if there would be no 2020 databases here, for example. Then people would have to play on the 2019 version with 2019 riders instead of on the 2019 version with 2020 riders for these 5 months. So, yeah, if the community is not there, then the game won't sell in those months, which is obviously quite shit because it forces the community to do all the work. I wouldn't know how to fix it personally because you can't just move the release date of a Tour de France based game to January because I think the hype is way less then. But yeah, it's a bit annoying for the community as well because they have to fix a lot of things that I would think the game should do initially. I totally forgot the initial question, but I just went off on a rant, so...
Yeah, but so do I, so it's fine. I mean, the other option for them, I guess, is to launch the game in January for the hardcore fans and actually put all their marketing money into July advertising it to those who don't know about it.
That's possible, but yeah.
I want to go back again to comparing it to Belgium's least favourite sport of rugby. Now, so the other rugby game that we do play... So... Rugby Challenge and Rugby 19, 18, 17. So Rugby 19, 18, whatever you want to call it, is developed by Big Ben. And the other one's developed by True Blue. Now, True Blue, in all their other games, they haven't released their new rugby game yet. It's they said they've released it in December, and it's now about to be June. It's still not released. And when someone, I saw someone email them recently to ask for a new update on the game, and they said there is no update. So that's a good sign. But on all their previous games, so they also make the rugby league games, they make the cricket games, all of Belgium's favourite sports, once again.
Yeah.
They have this thing called Fan Hub. And what Fan Hub is where they don't have licences, people on PC can download the extension to, a bit like how the PCM stage editor works. And you can basically, in that, if you have a computer, you can add your own custom logos and add kits. So people basically make the kits in Photoshop and just put it on as a like layer in the game. And what that means is you can effectively download the whole complete thing onto a console game, which to me is kind of revolutionary. Do you think that potentially Nancon, I know they're Big Ben and Big Ben don't do it on their game, that maybe that's the way to go to keep going the console game as there is no competitor? And I, from what I've seen, I guess there must be some sort of copyright loophole in doing that.
So you mean somewhat a way to mod your PlayStation more, right?
Yeah, so effectively version. People can upload their own designs.
Yeah.
And when you say own designs, it's usually real teams' designs that are missing from the game. And then you can download them onto your console, and they're completely cross-platform across all three platforms.
I have heard certain things about certain things. And now, you've got the PlayStation game, you've got the Xbox game. Those are releasing on June 4th, I think. Yes, June 4th. These games currently just have that you can change the names and the stats of the riders. You cannot change the shirts and such. And I'm afraid they locked that on purpose for licensing reasons. And I think that Nakon really tries to follow these licenses as much as possible. It's a licensed game by the Tour de France itself. So the Tour de France, you can see it as the Tour de France ordering a game at them, and they need to make it according to what the Tour de France also says, because they have a lot of meetings to ASO to make this game. And I think because that is so interconnected with the Tour de France itself, that the Tour de France won't let them mod the game even more on console. Now, there's a version coming to PC, and I would have been of the opinion that since the files will be on the PC, that I could try and mod the game if it's on the PC as well. But apparently that's being locked as well. So they don't seem to be very eager to go towards that. Personally, I kind of understand that, because it's technically trying to avoid a contract. If you open up a workshop where people can upload their own stuff to get the real shirts in anyway, then why would you try and get licensing contracts with all the teams? Like, and I think that's also an issue that PCM has, in the fact that because people can mod so much, the game is not as eager to fix database things than, for example, feature things. And maybe that's the bad sign of letting people mod your game every time, that you over-rely on the modders for certain things.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they work hard and they pay quite a bit of money to get contracts, and obviously still they don't get some. Although this year they seem to have filled it out. I'm not sure about Mark Cavendish. He seems to be like the most impossible person to get the rights for.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Like, no matter which team he's riding for, he just does not sell his rights. he could be riding in the Continental Division and he's still saying, no, sorry guys.
Yeah. Like, man, I think Quickstep has wrong names in 2020. And that's the... I find that the biggest meme of the whole game, because you get Alaphilippe to be on the cover of your game, and then they buy the game, and they open up, and it's Alaphilippe.
Yeah, that is a strange one. I mean, obviously, one thing in the last 2 years they've actually done is invested in buying the photo rights to a rider to go on the front, because traditionally PCM has had these kind of generic-looking people who are meant to vaguely resemble someone, and you kind of recognize them, but it's not definitely them. And now they've obviously gone all out for that, and then to not have the licenses for the rider they put on the cover is a bit strange.
Yeah.
But I mean, one thing that we do get with PCM over obviously the Tour de France games on the console is you get to play a whole season, which is nice, because they're trying to introduce more and more, but obviously, like we said, because you can't really mod console game, and consoles have storage limits and all sorts, and developing on console is a whole different ball game. Like, how much do you enjoy the fact that there is a cycling game where you can play every race of a year and you can put in your own races? Because the way the licensing has worked for a long time, there is every chance developers could have said, we'll just make a Tour de France game with no career mode. So how thankful are you for that, that that has always been there?
I'm personally very thankful, and it's also been a pretty big part of my life, because I started the whole YouTube concept that I do around the game. I think that people often see me as the guy that sometimes he doesn't talk about the bad parts in the game, sometimes he rants too much about bad parts in the games. I'm personally of the opinion that whatever happens, if the game is relatively close to what it is now, I'm going to play it because I terribly enjoy it. And if the game's not fun on itself, I'll try and make sure it's fun myself. And it's been working all right so far, and I feel like it's going to work out in the future as well. I am sometimes sad that because some evolution is lacking in the games, that the community is unhappy, and I'm not sad that the community is unhappy. I feel like they should be unhappy if something's not good enough, because you won't see change if you don't complain about stuff most of the time. Now, I'm just sometimes disappointed then, because like, there's so much potential with it, and to not see the potential happen, that's more of an issue for me than actual lack of changes or features in the game. Just the community's response to it, if you understand what I mean. Like, I want the community to enjoy the game as much as I do, and seeing that not happen is just not that fun.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you said about the fact you enjoy it, and now to take one of my favourite quotes in history from anywhere in the PCM community and adapt it slightly, obviously the original quote from Fires' old channel trailers, if you like cycling, this is the channel what you like. The fact of the matter is, because there's no competition, if you like cycling, this is a game that you like. And yep. The fact of the matter is, that's true. And like, I play the game not because I think, what an incredible game. And I don't think that's how sports games work. It's not like, you know, when you see these games like Witcher and stuff like that, where people think, wow, what like an incredible game, there's so mm-hmm. much depth to it. The fact of the matter is, sports games are played by fans of the sport. And it doesn't really matter that the games develop well or not. If it was really, really bad, then people wouldn't play it. But the fact of the matter is, if you like the sport, you're going to play the game. Yeah. And all these people you talk about who are complaining are still playing the game, and they buy it every year. So as much as they complain, they're still buying the game. So it's a kind of hard place to sit with them. And obviously people have ideals, and we do like games that work. But again, the fact of the matter is, no matter what game is released, EA spend millions on developing FIFA and games like that, and they're still broken. Yeah, like, true. The fact of the matter is, you can never have a perfect game. And the number of times I've said the facts of the matter in that sentence is unbelievable. But yeah, and actually, let's move on to talk about real cycling now. Obviously,
awesome.
My side of the situation now, having moved from the PCM community, I emigrated away to real cycling. How is it in Belgium at the moment? Because obviously, the limitations on cycling there are different to a lot of other places, and such a cycling crazy nation missed out on a lot of its biggest races, obviously the Ronde and some of the other like classics and Flèche. So how actually is it there right now? Are they looking forward to the new season? Is that the vibe you get, or does nobody talk about it? Is it in the local news, or how does it work?
It's a bit of a double-sided sword, I would say. On one end, you've got the fact that at the time that the stuff was being announced that the races were going to be postponed or cancelled throughout the season, people already were in the whole coronavirus vibe. They know that certain things are more important in life. And I've noticed that not just Belgians, but I would say humanity all. I'm saying it like largely, but I've seen that most people have accepted it because it's for a better cause. And I do not mind missing a race if it saves lives. And I feel like this really does that. Now, of course, I'm disappointed that there were no races at the time, because on one end, I kind of have to look from my perspective as well. Half my year was supposed to be videos about real life races on Pro Cycling Manager. And to have that go away, I had to think of new stuff to make. That's the selfish thought, of course, because I'm thinking about myself in this situation. Now, on the other end, on the day itself of the race, I was like a bit disappointed, but I didn't feel like it was the end of the world, because, again, there were more important things happening. Now, throughout the time since that the races were cancelled and postponed, were a lot of situations where on the news they were like, this could be the new day, this could be the new day, blah, 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 blah. So they were talking about it, but it's not that it was the most important news subject. And I've got the feeling that because of Corona, people are, because the news is always the same recently. Yeah, Corona's still there. That's how many people have passed away, unfortunately. That's how many people are unfortunately infected, how many went out of the hospital. And because the news is always the same, I think a lot of people have cut out on news a bit more in the recent month, because at the start of the year, everybody was watching the news because they wanted to know what's going on. And recently that has lessened. Obviously, people know roughly what's happening to cycling and sports now because they're looking to start in August again. I'm very hyped for that, but I already see races being cancelled and postponed then. So I'm going to be honest, I think 50% of the races will actually happen. And it will all depend on each country, because Europa, that's the most Dutch word I've said all day. Now, Europe has like all the decisions made nationally. They've got WHO that really focuses on like giving all the advice, but in the end, it's the countries that make the decisions. And because of that, it's going to be very different per country. And because of that, a country like, for example, I'm going to say a random country, so I don't know what the situation in said country is, but I just didn't hear much about, for example, Switzerland. I have not heard that many cases in that country. So I think a race in Switzerland will happen more likely than it would in Belgium right now. Then again, I've got the feeling that in Belgium, stuff is opening up slowly but surely. I've heard that restaurants are opening again pretty soon, obviously in a certain rule set, among a certain rule set. So everybody has to follow certain measures. And I feel like that stuff opening up might, on one end, be a sign that the races might happen. But on the other end, it might become an issue if they do see a fallback after 2 weeks, for example, of the restaurants being open. If they see that it's getting worse again because of that, then they might decide to postpone it again. Like, it's a bit of a difficult situation because you don't know what to expect. And I do think that people know about cycling restarting. I just think that people will care much less at the end of the season if it happens in November and December, because outside of the community of cycling and such that I'm in, I feel like I haven't heard much in real life about cycling. But then again, yeah, it is also because I'm also at home. I work from home. The only way I get out of my home at the moment is if I go to grocery store, try and help out grandma or something like that. So yeah, that kind of stuff really, because of the fact that I don't go out as much either, I possibly don't hear as much about cycling outside of home either. So it's hard to really guess if there will be hype at the end of the season. I'm hyped for it. But then again, Paris-Roubaix at the end of the season, what is going to happen? Are you going to have like rain all the time, or is it going to be snowy that day? I think that we're going to have a lot of weather issues in races as well if they actually happen. Like in the Giro, I don't know about the actual climbs, but I heard there's a Stelvio climb again in this year's Giro. I don't know the parkours of this year's Grand Tours. It's so sad. I've noticed last week. And like if the Stelvio is in the Giro this year, then yeah, good luck with the snow on top in the middle of the winter, because that's going to be difficult in October. So I think that's also going to be an issue. I think we're going to see way less races than we have on the planning right now, personally. But I think we're going to see races, and the races that I can see, I will enjoy. If they're done in very inappropriate situations where they should be postponed, I'm going to be slightly unhappy about it happening. But if I see a race that is done safely, and if it's good for the riders, first of all, because, yeah, you don't want to harm your riders by having them go to a race, then I'm fine with them racing. And I will definitely enjoy watching it. If it gets cancelled or postponed, then it's only a few months before the next season, so I guess I won't die of it.
Yeah, no, one thing I've just been thinking about while you were talking about that is actually, there's kind of one thing to consider here, which I think in Britain will be a big, big influence on the first point. There's two points to this. Now, obviously, cycling in the UK has grown exponentially. When we had the tour, whenever it was recently, we saw some of the biggest crowds the tour's seen anywhere for, to put it lightly, some shit climbs that weren't hard. Like, we look at mountains and the crowds aren't as deep as they were in Yorkshire, which is mental to me. I think that's absolutely incredible. But, and obviously, because it's still growing, and I feel like if you hold a race in the UK just after coronavirus, you aren't going to get the people out that you would. I know there's going to be a massive boom in events, but if it's just after coronavirus, there's still social distancing measures in place, you still have to stand 2 meters away from everyone. I mean, I guess the fact that cycling takes place over like 180 kilometers means, I'm not going to do the maths on that, but you can still have a lot of people standing 2 meters apart all the way along the course. Sure. But the fact of the matter is people don't go there. I've just said facts again. Someone needs to count this. I'm sure someone in your community will count this.
It's gonna be mean, mate.
But like, the other thing is, one thing I love about cycling, I think a lot of people do enjoy, is when you watch a cycling race, particularly the Flemish Classics and the Tour de France and the Grand Tours, what you tend to see on climbs and tough sections. So like, I went to Roubaix last year and I was in the Forest of Arenberg.
Awesome.
Is the number of different nationalities you meet and you see, and the flags you see. Oh, yeah. Now, if they were to open up cycling before they open up borders, what you have is you have an entirely Belgian crowd for Tour of Flanders. You have an entirely French crowd for Paris-Roubaix. You have an entirely Italian crowd for the Giro. And it's not the same. And I mean, I don't know if it's quite like football where there'd be a massive home advantage or whatever. But even so, it just kind of like kills the vibe.
Yeah, I agree. And I haven't even gone down the rabbit hole as much towards travel restrictions, really. But that could be a very big influence, like next to the weather that I said earlier. But travel restrictions might be a bigger one, to be honest. Because, like you said, certain countries have certain measures, and not every country will have the same kind of measures. And because of that, you won't have... Let me give an example. The Vuelta was supposed to be held in the first 2 days, not in Spain, I think. And the Giro was going to be held in Hungary, I think, at the start. Those 3 days from the Grand Tour, I think, are cancelled. I don't think they're happening in Hungary, nor is the Tour of Spain going to Portugal. I think that was it for the Tour of Spain. It was supposed to go to Portugal at some point, and that part has been cancelled. So, obviously, there's already a bit of preparation from the countries that they're saying, like, oh, no, we're not going to have the cycling race here because we obviously don't know what the situation is going to be in the future. And if you see such things happening, then obviously you're going to have issues with travel restrictions in the future as well. And that's mainly about the organization of the race. And I think you're going to have issues when it comes to organizing it as well, for getting riders in certain spots at the certain moments. It's probably going to mess up a few people when it comes to people that's supposed to be at a start list, and then suddenly they can't go for some travel restricting reason. And what you said about the fans at the side of the road, obviously it's an international thing. Tour of Flanders and such is very international. I don't 100% believe about the home effect. I don't see that as a real thing in cycling necessarily. Obviously, if they see Flemish flags as a Flemish rider, I would guess that might help. I don't know. I genuinely don't know if that really helps you, because I think you're so focused on the race if you're in it. And I'm not a real cyclist, so I can't tell you if that's going to help me be better in a Flemish race or not. But outside of that, yeah, it's obviously going to have less people at each race because of that. 100% for sure. and even people that not necessarily can't go because of travel restrictions, but because Corona is just behind us at that point, maybe, hopefully, then they will be of the opinion of, I shouldn't go to a crowded place, maybe, because I don't want to risk getting it still, because let's be real, people are scared sometimes. And yeah, sure, I've been at the grocery store and I've been like, oh my God, I should go a bit around that person. It's something weird. It's a bit antisocial, but in the end, it's the truth. And people will be scared at certain points and will not go to events because of that. And I think that's also going to be a big reason for a large decay in amount of people that go towards a certain race at the end of this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess the other thing with that is, and I nearly said facts of matter again, the thing is with that is, it's one of those things that we can be as hypothetical as we like, but we'll never truly know until we see it. So I guess we do just have to wait, which is basically just undermined the last 15 minutes of the podcast. But anyway, we do just have to wait and see what happens, and that's just the way of the world. People are strange. You never know how they're going to behave. But anyway, thank you for joining me, Benji. I'm sure this is a very interesting podcast for anyone who listens to my podcast regularly, but I am sure the vast majority of listeners will be from you. But I will say anyway, you can find Benji on YouTube, Twitter. You can find the links to join the World DB community on Discord. And obviously their workshop DB is available on Steam. I nearly got that right.
Close enough.
Yeah, there's only one letter out. I don't know when I'll be back or who'll be back with, but I will be back. So thanks for listening, and we will see you again soon.